God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our theme during these midweek Lenten services will be focusing upon the Apostles' Creed. You may also wish to open up your hymnals to page 301, as you will find Luther's small catechism. We'll be paying particularly close attention to the first article tonight. But as we get into the concept of the Creator, as the first article talks about, we have to deal with the concept of authority. Because as our Old Testament reading, Genesis chapter 1, depicts, when God spoke, something happened. And that's something very peculiar to God. You see, whenever God does speak, not only does it communicate his wish, but that very word also communicates action. Unlike when I speak. Typically, when I'm at home and I've tried to tell my daughters to go and do something, they give me that blank look, like, who are you? Better yet, man's best friend, my canine at home, my little golden retriever, who's supposed to be completely dedicated to man, as we call it, man's best friend, when I give it a command, it looks at me and again does its own will. Obviously, God's word is a lot different than my word. Needless to say, I really don't have to add too much more to it. Even the psalmist in Psalm chapter 33, verse 9, notes that God spoke and it was done. However, when I speak, it's not always done. You see, God has that power. We do not. Plain and simple, one of the reasons why we have the ashes for Ash Wednesday is to remind us who we are. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. That actually comes up in Genesis chapter 2. I didn't know how long you were going to sit for Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, so I figured we'll just hear Genesis chapter 1 and I'll add Genesis chapter 2. But in Genesis chapter 2, you find out that God takes dust and forms a man out of it, and then breathes life into that man, into Adam. But we have to stop and ask ourselves something. Was there something different in Genesis chapter 2 and how God formed and created man than how God created the heavens and the universe and all that there is? The answer is yes. You may notice in the Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 1 that God created using his words. When God said, let there be light, the light didn't have a choice. God's word not only reflect his wish, but also reflected action. There came light. Likewise, the heavens and the earth, the plants, the animals, and all that there was. But when it comes to man, Genesis chapter 2 reminds us that God takes dust. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't necessarily give me words of comfort at this moment. Everything else can get the verbal command of God. We just get the dust. Now you have to go on to the rest of that verse. And then God breathed. See, here's what's peculiar. God didn't breathe to cause the light. He didn't breathe to cause the plants and the animals, the sky, the universe, and all that there was. But he breathed into man the breath of God. Job chapter 33, verse 4, reminds us of this. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Nothing else in all of creation can claim those words except for us human beings. But unfortunately, there are some who believe that we just all evolved from some amino acids and some static electricity discharge. They take away the power of God and his word and his breath, and they substitute it for a theory. If that was the case, that gives me absolutely no comfort at all. I'd rather hang on to the fact that, yes, we were created with dust, and to dust we shall return, but with the breath of God. You see, there is a difference in how man creates things and how God creates things. God has the ability to create something out of nothing. Man does not. Whenever man makes anything, he must make it out of something that already exists. Not so with God. God creates out of nothing. That same word that God used to create the world is that same word that causes action. So needless to say, hopping to the New Testament for a moment, when Jesus' dear friend Lazarus dies and is already buried, and Jesus comes onto the scene, what does Jesus do? He says some words, "Lazarus, come out." And by the power of the Almighty God, Lazarus comes out. God raises Lazarus from the dead in the same word that he uses upon us when he raises us from the spiritual dead, especially through the waters of holy baptism. Remember, it's plain and simple water except for God's holy word. And in that word creates new spiritual life. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 reminds us that those who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. By God's word, we were created. By God's word, we were recreated, so to speak. As Paul writes in Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, in connecting that again with the sacrament of holy baptism. What does this all mean to us today? We go back to Luther's explanation. In the first article of the Apostles' Creed, at the bottom of the first column of page 301, what does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my reason, my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still preserves them. Also clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, wife and children, fields, cattle, and all my goods, that he richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life, that he defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil, and all this purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. For all of which it is my duty to thank and praise, to serve and obey him, Luther writes, this is most certainly true. Notice Luther ascribes every single aspect of your life to this first article of the Apostles' Creed. God the Father created you. He's also sustaining you, providing for what you need. But how often in our prayers and how often in our personal life do we sometimes doubt God's providence? How often do we sometimes have little faith that yes, he will take care of us? How many times do we worry in life? Do we think that life is falling apart at the seams all around us? We go back to the dust and God's word. What sets us apart from the apes? What sets us apart from the trees? What sets us apart from the fish, the sky, and the clouds? God's breath. You are special. You are created special by God. And if God takes care of the rest of his creation so well, it didn't fall apart after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. But God is still taking part in helping and being in control of his creation. And if God is still doing all that for his creation, how much more is he going to do for you? But yet, when fear comes into our lives, when doubt comes in, and we start thinking, God, where are you? Because something isn't going our way. Where are we putting our faith? The first article of the Apostle Creed says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Do you really believe that? And what it means? Do we truly understand that we're not in control, so to speak? It is God who takes care of us. We are nothing more than dust, but it is God who breathes into us. It is God who redeems us and who is God who sanctifies us. Without God, we are nothing more than dust. With God, we have life. Let me pick up from John chapter 3, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Notice, where does our life come from? It doesn't come from winning the lottery. It doesn't come from being successful in business. It obviously doesn't come by having my children listen and hang on to every single word I say. My own dog doesn't do that, as I reiterated earlier. Where does our life come from? It comes from the one who gives it to us. The one who breathes into us. Isaiah the prophet notes of this in chapter 64, verse 8. He says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." Isaiah understood this concept. It is God Almighty who is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who bestows life. He's the one who gives life. He's the one who takes care of life. But yet, when we fear and doubt, it's like doubting the first article of the Apostles' Creed. When we start wailing in self-pity and saying, "Oh, I'm not worthy, or I'm a too terrible person, or my life is just falling apart," or whatever type of pity parties we try to throw for ourselves, we sometimes relate more to the dust than the breath of God. Well, folks, we have to remember, we are both. God calls us. He chooses us, not because of any merit or worthiness within us. We are nothing more than dust. Abraham answered and said in Genesis chapter 18, verse 27, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, but who am I but dust and ashes?" Abraham understood his lowliness. But who was Abraham? Abraham was called by God. That's who Abraham was. He was right. He is nothing but dust and ashes, but called by God. As Christians, we are also called by God. We have value. We have worth. Don't let anyone take that away from you. Don't let the one who wants to try to convince you to give it up win. And who is that one? The devil, Satan. He doesn't want you to believe and trust in God's promises. He wants you to forsake God. And we don't have to go too far in today's society to find people who are willing to forsake this first article of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth," who want to devalue life, either at birth or later on in life, or any stage in between. We live in a world that constantly tries to pick on human life. No wonder God created human life to be special. It was the caretaker of the rest of His creation. So when times get rough, and it seems like Satan is trying to attack you, when it seems like things are not going well and you have no strength, maybe we need to remember we are nothing but dust, and dust we shall return. And also remember that God breathed into that dust. You are special. Again, you are also special as God called you through the waters of holy baptism. Again, with His word, you are special again where God says, "I need to strengthen you." And how does God strengthen you again? With His word, because His word is life. And as human beings, God knows we're a little concrete from time to time. We like the physical things, so He says, "Come to my table, and I will feed you something that you understand, bread and wine," but now attaching God's word to it. That word that has action, that word that has action in the bread and the wine, that says, "This is now my body, this is now my blood, for the forgiveness of your sins. God strengthens us with His Word, the same Word He created the heavens and the earth. That same Word that we rely on. His promises that give us life. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.